Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 158 of the Nerdcast from Project Nerd.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain, and you are listening to the Nerdcast.
We are all here today. It's me, Tyler, with our fearless leader, one Iggy.
Hello.
And Adam.
What?
And Bob.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good. Been a busy couple weeks. We're getting ready for O Comic Con. A lot of stuff happening in the movie world. Summer blockbuster season. Adam's got new work to do. World Cup's in full effect. I mean, I'm already diving in, I guess. It's busy. It's busy, busy.
Yeah. I'm also good. I don't, you know. We didn't really get a chance to answer, but also good. Thank you.
All right. That's exciting. So 158, the Nerdcast here. We did take a week off last week because of how busy everybody was, but that just means we have twice as much exciting things to talk about. And why don't we just dive right in like we normally do? So box office seems to be our first spot to start. Bob, what were the numbers last weekend?
Jurassic World still number one, but it took a hit. Dropped almost 60% over the weekend. It took in estimated $60 million, which isn't chunk change. I mean, that's still a good number. So it's pretty close to hitting a billion right now worldwide. It's at 932. Second place, Incredibles 2, 45.5 million. Saw that, loved it, terrific. Third place, Sicario, Day of the Soldado. That did about 19 million. Excellent movie, pretty intense if you like the first one. Fourth one, Uncle Drew, with all the basketball news going on here now. I mean, this seems like the movie came out at the right time. It's 15.5 million and number five is Ocean's 8 with 8 million, and it did cross 100 million.
Wow, so not bad for Ocean's 8, 100 million there. I think it was already greenlit for the sequel, but of course Jurassic World already greenlit for a sequel. Wouldn't be surprised if Pixar rolls into another Incredibles, and I wouldn't be disappointed if we saw another Sicario, so all those talking sequels. But yeah, we did see a lot of movies this weekend. I know, Adam, you saw Jurassic World. Bob, you saw Sicario and The Incredibles 2. I saw Sicario and Tag. Tyler, did you catch anything? I'm guessing by the look on his face.
I finally saw Deadpool 2 last week.
Oh, dude. Had you not seen that yet?
Yeah, I finally got around to it. Wow. I've been really busy the last few weeks. So it was good.
That's like let's last start few there. Months.
Yeah, let's start there. What did you think of Deadpool 2?
It was good. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I was, like, more so than the first one, I was surprised at the number of like super super like deep cut like toss away lines they had for like from the comic books, also everything from like Black Tom Cassidy to making a joke about Rob Liefeld's inability to draw feet to like that kind of stuff was really entertaining. So Zazie Beetz was real dope, and I'm curious to see where they go with the series. So I don't know, it was fun.
We did have a few episodes back a spoiler filled Deadpool 2 solo episode. So if you want to hear more about what happens in Deadpool 2 and all that, you can definitely check out that episode. And of course, more recent, I didn't check out Jurassic World. I know Bob and Adam have now both seen it. I just don't know. This, there's nothing about it that's pulling me into it. So guys, are you going to sell me on it or should I wait?
Nothing about it that's going to pull you into it. It's got dinosaurs on the big screen. Like, you know, it's funny because they, if you like kind of go through the Jurassic World, like if you watch the first Jurassic World, they talk about how like just having dinosaurs used to be enough, but now you need like bigger dinosaurs and more teeth and more anger and more aggression and like all this kind of stuff. And it's really funny because that's, you know, legitimately what's happening with the movies. Like the first one, you just had dinosaurs and it's like, oh my God, it's so amazing. Like, this is the most incredible thing ever. And then everything after that, it's like, I've seen dinosaurs on the movie screen before. It's not that big of a deal. I really liked it. I don't know. It's what I don't know what people would be upset about. Like, it's a Jurassic movie. It's fantastic. It's funny. It's got, I actually just reread the original book. So Michael Crichton's Jurassic World or Jurassic Park, I mean, and, there's stuff pulled right from that book in this movie still. Like, there's so much in that book that they didn't touch in the initial movie or the other two remakes that followed it, that they're still able to put a ton in there. So absolutely fantastic. I enjoyed it. Would definitely see it again. I actually found out that I don't own Jurassic World, like the first one and the first Jurassic World.
Yeah, I was thinking you when you said it, my reaction was because I thought you said Jurassic Park. And I was just like, how do you not own Jurassic Park? But okay, no. Jurassic World.
Yeah, I definitely own Jurassic Park and the other two, The Lost World and Jurassic 3. But so, you know, now I'm debating whether or not I should go ahead and buying Jurassic World or waiting until, you know, there's going to be some set when they both come out with, or when the new one comes out with both of them in it. So, but yeah, it would potentially even a rewatch in the theater for me.
Really? I don't think I appreciated until this weekend that it's been 3 years since the Jurassic World came out. I feel like it was way more recently than that. It is definitely not making money as fast as Jurassic World did, but it's doing okay.
Pop, I mean, culture-wise, $250 million domestically in 2 weeks. Like, what? Come on, guys.
Well, the first one, after 10 days, had already made $402 million.
Well,
the first of the new ones. I'm just saying. But, it's made more than both. It's already made more than both sequels made in their entire run. So,
Yeah.
So it's doing fine. But
the thing about the first Jurassic World, it was like 10 years since a Jurassic Park movie, and that was a lot of the draw. Everybody was kind of excited about a new Jurassic Park movie, and yeah, it's been 3 years since that one for this. And I agree with Adam. I mean, it's a good popcorn movie. A lot of action. I love the characters. I love the character. Chris Pratt does no wrong. Except, you know, some of the bad guys are pretty much cookie cutter bad guys. I mean, you know what's going on even 10 minutes into the movie once you meet people. The first half of the movie was fantastic. The second half of the movie drug a little bit, but you know, hey, it's that wow factor. They're dinosaurs. Wow enough.
So that's 2 weekends out. Like we said, it's making good money, but still obviously behind one that came out 10 years. I think that's also, when you look at the Star Wars stuff, that's why Force Awakens was just mind-blowing because it had been so long, and now we've got a lot more of them, so the numbers don't go quite as big initially. But this weekend, Sicario, Day of Salado, the follow-up to what was an incredible first movie that kind of, I really say, it kind of flew under the radar, the first one, it seems like. Not a lot of talk about it. But Bob, I know you saw it as well, but I did. If you like the first one, you're going to like this one. It's great. And both, I mean, you have Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin both do fantastic jobs following up, playing the same exact characters in the first ones. And it's just great movie. And they just, the only thing I'll say was spoiler free is they know how to close these movies. They know how to give you a dramatic ending. That's for sure.
Yeah. Again, Josh Brolin, my entertainer of the year. This is his fourth movie and it's doing extremely well. I was really wondering how they were going to pull this one off. I mean, even though now we're in the environment that we live in, they could have changed it up, but they didn't. And it was extremely intense, pretty brutal, but yeah, it's a great movie. It is absolutely great.
So I'm not against Jurassic World, like seeing it in theaters and everything like that. It's just, I saw that and I saw Tag finally. And then this weekend coming up, which is kind of big talk about, I know for you horror fans, another one of, what is this? The Purge 9 million, the first Purge.
This is number four.
And then of course, the big Marvel follow-up. We're already to Ant-Man and the Wasp. It feels like just yesterday was Avengers, and Avengers is still showing prominently in theaters.
But it finally dropped out of the top 10.
Yes, but it's there. You could still go see it if you want to. And here we go. Finally, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantum Realm, the newest TV spot for it talks about Ant-Man kind of seeing, is this the end of something? So, you know, a lot of stuff starting to lead up to what we are heading for in the next direction. You guys checking it out opening weekend?
I'll be there Thursday night.
I'm going to definitely try. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, going to make that happen. Heard great things so far. I mean, I was reading something that people are, you know, critics saying, you know, one of the funniest Marvel movies. And, you know, kind of a palate refresher after Infinity War.
All right, so I was pulling it up. Black Panther and Avengers Infinity War, obviously domestic number one and number two at the box office. Black Panther, just shy of $700 million domestically. Avengers Infinity War at $672. I think it's pretty safe to say we don't see Ant-Man get there, but where are we thinking this finishes once it's done with its theatrical run?
That's a big question. Just finishes like period finishes? I don't.
What numbers are we going to
be at? What did the first one do? You got any information for me? You make me pull this up myself? No, I would say probably more than the first one, because I think the first one came out at a weird time and was one of the first like standalone-ish movies that they did.
Well, one of the first, yeah, of this like second phase, whatever. But it came out late or middle of July in the 2015, and worldwide total was 519, domestic was like 180. So I'm going to put it at probably, if I had to put money down now, I'm going to say 600 worldwide, 200 domestic. And I think that's conservative. I think it could make more than that.
Right. I'd go higher than that. 250, 300 domestic is what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think it does better than the first one, especially coming off of this question that Avengers has left us with. So everything that's happening in Marvel till the next Avengers movie, we're looking for answers. So a lot of people are going to get this.
But I think they've been fairly open about the fact that this happens before Infinity War. So there's not a lot of answers to be had.
Would you call them answers for Ant-Man and the Wasp? I think you would.
I would not, actually.
I would.
That's the end of our episode, folks. Now
we should.
That would be our last one forever.
I think your pun was bad, and you should feel bad.
I will jump in board with you guys in that too.
I don't. Look at my smile. I feel great.
Where do you think, Bob? Where do you got?
I kind of agree with Adam. I think it's going to do about 250, 300. There's a reason to see it now. You know, before Ant-Man, when the first Ant-Man came out, there wasn't much reason. I mean, you know, your fanboys were kind of like really ticked off because Edgar Wright didn't direct it. But now with this, like I said, people want to know some answers for Infinity Wars. What happened? I think it's going to do well.
There's not any answers in this one, right?
We're clear that you understand that, Tyler, but not everybody does a nerd podcast on a weekly or almost weekly.
Well, that's not the real reason. What's the real reason to go see this movie?
Michael Pena.
Exactly.
Everybody knows it's Michael Pena.
Anyone who says that otherly is stupid. That's obvious.
It's funny that you would come to us, because remember, we robbed you? That was us. So, I think he definitely became one of the non-superhero sidekick like stars of the universe after that first Ant-Man, that's for sure. And
I just want him like Marvel's just put him at like the beginning of every movie. Okay guys, remember that one time when we didn't like just have him do the recap for every single one of them? Because it would be amazing.
Telling the story is fun. The best part about it, though, the best part of every one of his little recaps he does is watching the other actors like clips.
It's
so fucking hilarious. I don't know why, but there's just something about watching, you know, all these different characters like move their mouths in time with Louis saying all these things. It's fantastic.
I personally want to see a buddy movie with Michael Pena and Wu from Doctor Strange.
Wong? No, we just
Wong, need a, I'm sorry, Wong.
I need a buddy like travel log movie with Wong and Luis and Korg can come to and me.
I think pitch it to Marvel. I think we got something here, guys. So that's this weekend. It looks like we're all gonna go see it. I don't know. Adam, are you a Purge fan? You're the our horror movie guy, so I don't know if you're a Purge fan.
So I enjoyed the first one, but it was very, very granular. So very specific to here's like one person's, one family's interactions with what's going on in the Purge. And then the second and third one got way, way better as they kind of expanded out into what the Purge means, what it means to large communities, what it means to our nation. So it really, really good. I enjoyed it a lot. And so I was very intrigued and happy that they were going forward to the first Purge for this one. And then the July 4th release, I got that day off work. So, you know, we'll go catch that.
Isn't there a TV show about it now too?
They're talking about doing one. Yeah.
I didn't think it was out yet. Yeah.
All right. So new TV in the Purge, but
yeah, there's a trailer out for the TV show. So there is a TV show coming.
Goodness gracious.
On anyway, USA.
Makes sense. It would be on USA. But anyways, moving on. Let's stick with movie news. Let's skip over one thing. Let's stick with movie news. Since we're talking about Marvel 2 right here before the Purge, Avengers 4 title. We've talked in detail, not only on this podcast, but I know in multiple conversations with multiple people, Marvel is making a huge deal about keeping this title a secret. And they were talking because it could lead to spoilers. They were saying that you wouldn't even see a title on a trailer until after Captain Marvel, possibly, is what we were being led to believe. Well, cinematographer Trent Oblak updated his resume now that he's done doing cinematography on Avengers 4. And he decided to put the full title on there and then publicly put his resume out there because obviously he wants other big studios to pick him up. So once that's on the internet, it's on the internet. Anyways, Avengers 4 title out there. Spoilers. Block your ears for a second if you don't want to know. It's not really that big of a thing. It's Avengers Endgame is now what we believe is supposed to be called, tying back to Doctor Strange's line of what's the endgame here when he was looking at all the different possibilities.
It's a little prosaic, I think. It's a little, I don't know.
Yeah, don't tell the cinematographer and Tom Holland secrets. They'll let him out all the time.
That's what I'm wondering, like, how devious do we think Marvel is? Is this like complete misdirection? Like something that arbitrary and that like the cinematographer who worked on the movie is going to really update his resume with the full title of the movie when they've said that it's not even going to be in a freaking trailer. Like,
that's a good question. That's
come
something.
On. I mean, like, is that, it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to do that and then be like, JK, it's this other thing.
Especially because a lot of people asked, would it relate to something like that? And they said it'll have nothing to do with any of that stuff. And I think even Marvel specifically said has nothing to do with the line Doctor Strange said. So I don't know. That's a great point to bring up there. That's something I didn't even think about.
Yeah. And one of the Russos even, I think, came out and said verbatim, like the title of it was not said in the first Infinity War movie. Like, and
yeah, that's, in fact, yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Endgame was most definitely said in this one, but yeah, it's kind of a little boring. I feel like they could do better.
I think it fits. It does. I don't know about a boring. I mean, you have what, Age of Ultron, Infinity War, Endgame. I think it works.
I'm saying in terms of like, it is, it's very unoriginal, and I can probably, with a slight Google search, find, you know, 30 fucking movies that were sequels or something that have the subtitle Endgame. Actually, I'm curious. I'm going to go to IMDb right now and type in Endgame and see what comes up.
All right. So while you're doing that, Adam did present a great theory of what if we're just being thrown off here? What if Marvel is duping us? I didn't even think about that until you just mentioned it. So great possibility there. You got that brain working right now. So interesting to find out for sure. Endgame would be, I mean, when I think graphic novels, I would think that it could work as a title, but Tyler, you have a good point there. So what do we got? What are we looking at in terms of Endgame titles?
It depends on if you type it as...
It's definitely a Highlander. It's two words.
Yeah. So there's the Highlander one. There's a 2006 movie called Endgame, a 2018 short called Endgame. There's a Speed Racer TV series that was subtitled Endgame, 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 one word in. Yeah, I mean, this list goes on for Dead Rising, colon, Endgame, Highlander, colon, Endgame, Operation, colon, Endgame, which was fairly recent. How many other ones they use it as a subtitle? Yeah, I mean, there was a...
So unoriginal, I'll give you that, but do any of those titles have Avengers before the colon, Endgame?
No, but one of them's got Highlander, so I mean...
Fair.
I don't know what we're going for here, and I'm pretty sure that's the one with Mario Van Peebles, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies called Endgame.
All right, so Tyler's not impressed. Adam's got a theory on how... what Marvel's doing to us. Bob, what do you got for us? What do you think's happening?
You know, most studios on movies that big movies, and they want to keep stuff secret. I mean, they want to keep it secret even that they're filming stuff. I mean, they'll put out false titles. I mean, look at E.T. I mean, what was A Boy's Life, I think that was called. You know, so, yeah, I think it's just a ruse.
When I used to, back in the day when I work at a theater and they'd send the film over to us, you know, UPS or FedEx, whatever, it would come in boxes and they would be completely mislabeled. Mm-hmm. More so on the purpose to detract people from stealing it. But exactly to your point, Bob, this is not new for the Hollywood industry to throw curveballs when it comes to titles.
So it'll probably show up next year with something completely off the wall.
We will find out. Yep. I guess not too long. And with how quick this year's going by, we'll be there sooner than we realize. So moving on, and we'll come back to movies in a little bit, but let's break up the movies talk here and talk a little bit about what the New York Times did this week. So we released an article last week regarding Batman, The Dark Knight Batman number 50, and it's finally going to happen. DC sent out invites so you knew what issues to get. There are, I want to say, 25 to 30 different covers. Our boy Aunt Luch is doing a cover. We got J. Scott Campbell doing like a four-part cover. I mean, you have a cover from Michael Turner, who's been passed away for over a decade. You've got cover from Alex Ross. If they've done it, Jim Lee, everybody is doing a cover for this. Why? If you haven't been paying attention, Batman and Catwoman, Bruce Wayne, Selina Kyle, finally getting married. Been waiting for it. The New York Times, though, decided we're not waiting for the 4th of July. You know, 12:01, 4th of July, when comic stores are doing midnight releases for this even. We're going to not only give you the title or give it away what happens in our title of the article, but the New York Times complete article breaks down almost page for page what happens in the comic book a week, like 3 days before it comes out. It's one thing that it was in the article, but for somebody like me, you have your Google News kind of set up and you have that section that's targeted for you. And Batman is one of those topics that shows up in those for me. So that title's right there for me when I first log into my Google account in the morning. So for me, not a huge spoiler because I'm going to be 100% honest. I'm not collecting four different Batman issues a month and keeping up with all this at this point. However, for those that are that deep into it, they got ruined. And we're not going to say what happened. If you want to know, obviously you can go to New York Times and check it out. By time this airs, the issue will be out anyway. So why not? Why not? Are you guys ready for it? Bob already knows. The article for New York Times reads, "It just wasn't meant to be, Batman." That right there. Yep. That right there gives it away what happened. So, I mean, again, you can go full detail into the article to see exactly what happens. I read the last few paragraphs of the article too, and it tells you the last page of how it's laid out and what happened. So that's crazy.
I can't believe that a New York Times would do something like that. I mean, yeah, people would, you know, copy movies, burn them, and you get all that information. But for a legitimate news organization to do that, wouldn't there be like grounds for lawsuits and stuff like that? I mean, because that's lost money.
I mean, the Times handled it poorly and, you know, buried the lead. Don't put it in the title, but at the same time, like, there are very well honed and fairly mostly respected rules about advanced copies and ARCs and rule when it comes to movies, when it comes to books, when it comes to comic books. Like, this one, for all intents and purposes, like, obviously it was kind of a dick move on the New York Times, and it wasn't in like the book review section. It was in the style section and like their vows section. It was more like almost like a jokey article than anything. It just, the fact that it was in the title and it had to do with Batman, it popped up on a lot of people's feeds. But this one's all on DC. Like, they're more than capable of not letting this shit get out, or putting, you know, moratoriums, or putting, like, you know, cutoff dates for when the reviews can come out and things like that. Like, I mean, obviously New York Times could have handled it better. And obviously this isn't their bread and butter. This isn't their something that the New York Times typically reports on a lot. So obviously, like, the societal norms aren't maybe on their side, but like, if DC didn't want this to come out, they very easily could have, you know, not let it out. At least not, they could have done it in a way that the New York Times wouldn't have spoiled it. Now, ARCs get out there, people are going to find out, it's going to get spoiled, but it doesn't necessarily need to pop up at the, you know, the front page of the paper of record.
You would think the comic book folks could talk to the movie folks about, you know, review embargoes and stuff like that.
And
get that taken care of for them.
As someone who's gotten advanced reader copies of books, like, most books have review embargoes. Like, you know, comic books, I don't know, Iggy, do comic books?
So,
I know some comic books have review embargoes.
We can definitely answer that question, because Project Nerd does get review content for all of these different types of things. As you mentioned, books and movies definitely do. But when we get a review solicitation for a movie or a book, it is specific email for that specific item. So there's very specific instructions for that item. When we get review solicitations from comic publishers for their comics, there's a lot of stuff coming out every month from DC. There's not just Batman 50. And although this title is at a level that maybe you could have put something in there, the emails we get just say, here's the link to this week's releases, little caption on each one. On some of them, don't even, like, IDW just gives us a list of titles. We don't even, not even a description of what's going on with them or anything. And you, on most of those, you click into a site, you've got a section to grab their covers, you can grab the screener issues with the watermarks on them. But yeah, comic publishers don't often, at least on a bigger scenario, don't often have those very specific instructions per review, because, like I said, you're getting more, you're just, here's everything that's coming from DC this week. So that's probably why it could have flown under the radar. But exactly, it's still at the end. Tyler's exactly right. This is probably the biggest thing that happened for DC outside of a crossover event, outside of a major half our characters died and are coming back next week event. This is a big thing. And this is something that's built for decades. So DC should have probably put special instructions somewhere to make sure it didn't happen.
Yeah. Like, it's one of their, you know, crazy ongoing titles that's been running forever. That's not telling anything. Like, this has gotten people back into, like, Batman and Superman comics. Like, this has been a big storyline. Like, people I know who haven't picked up a comic book in a while have been talking about this run. I think two things to point out that are very clear. I don't want to spoil what, you know, obviously what happens in number 50 if people are still waiting to read it. But Tom King has come out, who has been the one writing this series, and made it clear that, number one, yes, they're spoilers. He was very disappointed that they got released. Number two, this is a 100-issue run story, not a 50-issue run. So, like, this is by no means the end of the story. There are still 50 more issues to come. So this isn't the end-all be-all. The other one I want to point out, without periphery spoilers, stop listening now. But it also doesn't look super awesome when basically what's going to happen in issue 50 of Batman was already a huge plot point in another big currently running series on Marvel like a week ago. Like, almost this entire scenario just went down on one of Marvel's current flagship titles, which I think is pretty hilarious.
So with that, this is one of the things we want feedback from you. I know myself, I haven't been collecting up to this, but there's at least four or five covers that I want of this commemorative one. Love J. Scott Campbell's work and his whole, like, four-part cover is great. And of course, our, you know, Aunt Lucha is doing a cover. We got to grab that. So checking out a few of those, let us know in the comments wherever you listen to this podcast if you're picking up Batman number 50 and what cover you preferred. If you're not sure what covers to get, you can head on over to projectnerd.com, project-nerd.com, and check out our article featuring all the covers and links to them as well. So yeah, New York Times spoiling, but let's head on over. And we'll be spoiler-free here because some big things happening in TV world the past couple weeks, including Westworld coming to a dramatic wrap, Netflix dropping some new series, and even a fun news thanks to Twitter. So I know Adam hasn't finished it. I haven't even finished season one, so Tyler can call me names here in a second. But Adam, Bob, spoiler-free, Westworld wrapped, impressions?
Either, but I don't think Adam saw it, but that was just a total mind fuck. That was one crazy finale. Honestly, I can't even say much about it without doing some spoilers.
All right, then I'm going to meet you then.
Yeah.
No spoilers on this one. All right, Tyler, what do you got for us on Westworld? Did you finish it?
I did. And we don't deserve this show. It is so good. I mean, like, there are some things about this season that were kind of hit or miss for me. And after the first couple episodes, I was like, what are they doing here? And then by the episode three, I was 100% bought in. Getting close to the end, I was like, I don't know where they're going with this. I was way off base with a lot of things. And then the ending was, I don't know if I could use the word satisfying, but like, you can tell, like, they knew exactly what they were doing from top to bottom. They even got weirder with their playing with, like, timelines and stuff like that. I can't say too much without spoiling all of it, but this series was, I thought it was going to be tough to top what they did in season one, but I cannot wait for season two, which, based on the gap between season one and season two and what they've already said, that they probably won't even start filming this to mid to late 2019. It might be another year and a half before we get season three, and I don't even care. I'll just watch season one and two over and over again until that time comes. It was fantastic.
Based on that, Adam, you better get back on it. I don't know. I guess I should start watching it too.
I know. We've been doing it. We've got some other crazy stuff going on. I'm excited now that it's over. I think part of it was I didn't get right in on week one and took a couple of weeks before I was going to get into it. And so then by that point in time, I was like, it's only going to be 10 weeks long. I might just hold off, and then that way I can do all of it in kind of one shot, not have to wait week to week to try to remember everything that's going on. So I'm hoping that my delayed gratification here is going to work out and make things easier for me to watch it.
I usually will binge. I'll get the Blu-ray and I'll binge watch it. This and Game of Thrones are like the only two series that I will watch diligently every week. And like I said, I mean, I sat there with my mouth open the whole time. It was just like, it was phenomenal. It was amazing.
Yeah, I don't watch a ton of TV live anymore, or not even live, but even like week of anymore. Like, even currently running TV shows, well, with schedules and stuff, I will binge. Like, I'll stop watching a sitcom for, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks and then go back and watch all of them. It helps that it's on Sunday nights, but this is one of the few shows that I have seen every episode within 24 hours of it airing. And it was same thing with season one and season two. And it's been, I should try to do it more. I don't really have time, but I forget what it's like to have to wait, you know, each week until you see the next episode. And it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. And I can't wait for the next season to come.
So you have no more Westworld to watch right now, but Netflix did give us a few things these past couple weeks. We got season two of Marvel's Luke Cage, and season two of Glow, which, I mean, it's weird to put those in the same sentence, but for those of you who finished season one of Glow will know why we are, because it was a super exciting show as well. But have you gentlemen started either one of those series?
I started Luke Cage, have not gotten very far into it. I have not started Glow yet.
All right. I'm a couple episodes into Luke Cage and probably halfway through Glow already. Glow's easier to put on in the background when you're doing something. Like Luke Cage, you have to be like fully invested in. So it's harder to get through, and it's definitely a slow start, I think, like the first season is. So slow burn building up for sure, but you get a lot of the same characters back. Some exciting things there. Glow immediately just jumps in right to what's going on as well. But fun stuff. I mean, we're fresh off the recent Arrested Development season as well. Netflix is putting some good content out there this summer. To follow that up, September 14th will be season 5 of BoJack Horseman. I'm super excited for that one. It's a great show. And the news came out because somebody asked again, the BoJack Horseman fan page on Twitter, when is season 5 dropping? And so they finally responded and said that you are now the 10th million person to ask that. So you win the answer. And it's September 14th. So Netflix has confirmed that it wasn't just a joke post, but it was, I think, I'm sure people kept asking. And once they did get that date figured out, that's just the way they figured out to, okay, who's asking now? Let's respond in that. But some good TV from Netflix there as well.
And I'm looking forward to BoJack Horseman. I don't know if excited would be the right word to use.
That's true.
looking forward to a BoJack Horseman series.
That's true. I don't know.
I'm super excited to go get real depressed for like a week.
Well, you might get depressed one episode, not depressed next episode. But yeah, if you watch the whole season in 1 week, you're going
to. I don't know. These last couple seasons have been pretty much real dark from top to bottom.
Even the really
funny episodes end up at the end with like, I think I'm going to go sit in the dark.
So with that, a lot of exciting stuff happening on TV. Of course, it's summertime. So, you guys were talking about, there's not a lot of stuff that I think really anybody, not a lot of people watch week to week anymore outside of, it seems like HBO shows still seem to hold that. And based on what we talked about a couple weeks ago, apparently Walking Dead still does to some degree. But for the most part, I was just thinking as we were talking about this, you know, when we were younger in the summers, it was just reruns and nothing new until you hit September. But now you get new TV all the time. So I don't know. I was just kind of excited about that I'd bring it back up. But anyways, let's head back over to the movies. Just one more rumor I wanted to cover there. Nothing big, nothing concrete. But the Sonic the Hedgehog movie is definitely in talks on development, and a big, big actor attached to play Dr. Robotnik, and that would be Jim Carrey.
Do we need a Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
I don't.
I mean, we didn't even really need the animated series, and that was enjoyable, and we got it. But I don't think we need one. No.
To date, I can't. I mean, video game movies still don't work, and this one will less so than any other, I would think.
Like, I don't know. I just watched Tomb Raider again this weekend. Really liked that new one.
Yeah, but that was a single player, story dense RPG based game that they basically just remade as a movie, and it still did okay. It wasn't like super, like it wasn't a huge success or anything like that. But this is the equivalent of like trying to bring a story out of like Super Mario Brothers, and we saw how well that went. Like, I don't.
So what you're saying is we need a God of War, Last of Us, Uncharted type movie as opposed to a
Sonic. No, because we have the games. Like, you don't need to make movies of those. You have the game of them.
If you want to make a movie of them, you could make more money literally just piecing together all the cutscenes. You don't even have to make it. It's already made. You just get the cutscenes, splice them all together, put it in the theaters, and I bet you'd be surprised how much money you can make with doing literally zero work.
Yeah, just make the game. Just, if you have a really good idea for a story in one of those worlds, just pony up the money and make another movie, another game with that story. Because it's going to do better than the movie will. And then people will play it.
He's right, you know. I don't like to...
Don't do that.
...to fully admit with him all of the time, but he's absolutely right, you know.
But right now, there's just... There's not any good animated movies except for Disney and Pixar. I mean, DreamWorks isn't putting anything out. I mean, they just don't look at me that way.
Hotel Transylvania 3 coming out. That's going to make a bunch of money.
Whoa.
It's going to make a bunch of money, dude.
I am curious, though. I am curious if, is Sonic going to be fully animated, though?
Yeah, it has to be. Like, there's if it's not CG or...
Animated. But I mean, you had the Woody Woodpecker movie where it was real life, or the...
I swear to God, if they don't...
Yeah, just the CGI character.
The fact that they're making this movie is ridiculous enough. If they try to make some sort of live action Sonic the Hedgehog, then no. Just...
Oh, if they make it live action, I hope they get Michael Cera to play Sonic.
Oh my God.
How amazing would that be?
Adam is...
I want to go back to Bob saying there's no one who's not Pixar or Disney making good animated films. I take umbrage with that. There's a lot of good animated films that have come out in the last few years that weren't made by those two
guys. Well, we got a new Ghibli movie out this year.
Well,
I haven't seen it, but it's out. And you have...
What's their name? Laika Studios doing things like Kubo and The Two Strings. That was a
fantastic movie.
Illumination. Like, obviously, they're making another Minions movie, which hurts my soul. But like the Despicable Me movie, Secret Life of Pets, Sing, those all did really well.
They did really well, but were they really good movies?
No. The answer is no. They're not that good.
If you're looking at quality, yeah, Ghibli, Pixar, Disney. Those are the only...
Laika. No, you don't not say Laika. That's unfair.
You're trying to tell me that
Kubo and the Two Strings isn't a good movie, because if you are...
Yes, it is a good... It is a very good movie.
Bob, don't make me also agree with Tyler after Adam did. then later in the episode, you agree with Tyler. And then it's almost like a Medusa appearing in the mirror type thing when three of us agree with Tyler. Who knows what happens to the world after that?
Yeah, I would go out on a limb and say pretty much every movie that Laika has made has been good. In the last 13 years, they've had, what, like five movies?
They did Caroline.
Coraline, Paranorman, Box Trolls, Corpse Bride, Kubo and the Two Strings.
And so. Those are, and not just for animation quality, but of what you're getting at, Bob, in terms of story quality of the actual movie, those are all up there for sure.
But you know, other, like I said, we're not seeing as very much of those. I mean, when's the next time they're going to release another movie? Probably be in about maybe a year or two. Otherwise, we're stuck with just some.
Say it, Bob. Hotel Transylvania 3.
On Friday the 13th. That preview, that's actually, our big Friday the 13th release is Hotel Transylvania 3, just so everybody is aware.
It's going to make all the money, you guys.
That I'll actually, the that. Preview like, did look funny.
Laika's next movie comes out April of next year.
Okay.
What is it?
Missing Link, starring Hugh Jackman, Zoe Saldana, and Zach Galifianakis are doing voices.
What? Oh, wait, Zoe Saldana's in a movie? It's been a while since we've seen her in anything.
Stephen Fry, Emma Thompson, Timothy Olyphant. Say, is there,
you seen That's a trailer a for that, Tyler? I feel like I saw a trailer for that. Or
did I don't believe something. I don't I believe there's a trailer out yet, but it comes out April of next year, and there's a lot of, I mean, like I already said, Hugh Jackman, Zoe Saldana, Zach Galifianakis, Stephen Fry, Emma Thompson, Timothy Olyphant, Matt Lucas. There's a lot of people in it. It looks good. Or sounds good.
I feel like there's not going to be any good animation quality because they've spent all the money on the voice acting. It sounds like.
Yeah, really?
All of it.
Well, they made a lot of money with Kubo.
Oh, it was so good. That was such a good movie.
They didn't make any movie. They didn't make any
money. No.
I was going to say.
But it was very well received. 97% on Rotten Tomatoes and 84 on Metacritic, which is almost more impressive. So,
but not much money.
Why do you have to shit on them so much? They were all, that was a really good movie.
So speaking of good movies, I will transition here to mention that one of at least Bob's and mine most favorite times of the year is July and November of every year, because Barnes and Noble hosts the Criterion Collection sale. Woo-hoo. So they it actually was supposed to start today when this episode airs. They started it the weekend before the 4th of July. Tricked me because I thought I was going to be able to use my 10% off 4th of July coupon, but they won't let you use it on the Criterion sale. Your mileage may vary, obviously. But it's supposed to extend into August. It's supposed to be a really long sale this time. And we've got some big titles coming out this month too with it. I'm excited. I immediately went, I needed to get Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs, Inside Llewyn Davis, and Breakfast Club were the three I was targeting for sure.
I didn't wait for no sale. I got them.
Not surprised there. Anyways, if you are heading over to Barnes & Noble to pick up the Criterions, first of all, don't go to the one I go to because you guys already bought all the movies I wanted there. I was blown away. I used to live next to a Barnes & Noble that I would walk into the past couple of years. Nobody was picking up Criterions at this location. So I walked in. Everything was there. I walked in this past weekend to this one, and I was like, I can't find these titles anywhere. And they're like, oh, I know I just sold two copies of Silence of the Lambs on Blu-ray. And I'm like, wait, other people are buying these here? And like, yeah, a lot of people. I was like, why do I have to move to a cool neighborhood? But anyways, tell us what you're picking up at Barnes & Noble. Obviously, we want to hear. Bob, were you getting anything to sell or did you buy everything already?
I need to look. I need to sit down and look at all what's out. As like I said, I've been just kind of cherry picking. Just titles. I just recently got Midnight Cowboy, but I need to see what's been out since then.
Yeah, I've tried to be more selective with it, but I mean, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Dude, Inside Llewyn Davis. Like, yeah. That started my love affair with Oscar Isaac. Like, oh my God. He is phenomenal.
He is the man.
Joel and Ethan Coen always do fantastic, but man, that movie, I wasn't ready for that movie when I watched it, and it just blew me away.
Now, I will admit, Inside Llewyn Davis and Breakfast Club for me both will be double dips. Actually, Breakfast Club, not officially a double dip because I still had the HD DVD version of it. So I never actually got the Blu-ray version. So this will be my first Blu-ray of it. Inside Llewyn Davis, I did have the Blu-ray already and let that go so I could get this Criterion. Tyler, anything of interest to you?
Yes. Well, no, not for Criterion, but if we're talking about spending way too much money on things that have to do with movies, classic movies that we love, I don't know if anyone's been following it. I apologize for our listeners because this will have come and gone by the time you listen to this episode. But tomorrow is yet another very limited, super secret Mondo sale. And it's two posters, and it is Jaws.
And oh my god! Beautiful.
So they partnered with Richard Castell, the artist who originally drew, painted the shark with the swimmer above it, to recreate the poster. So there's one release of the original poster, recreated, screen printed, limited run of I think 280 for $150, signed by Roger Castell himself. The other option is a screen print, basically of, it's definitely NSFW, but of the original, just the art piece, just the woman naked swimming with the shark coming up under the water in fantastic color. They're also releasing, for the first time on vinyl, John Williams' score for Jaws on Ocean Blue vinyl. And then these cool little two little enamel pins, one of the shark coming up and then of the swimmer. Either poster, they're both in typical Mondo fashion, 24 by 36 screen prints, 280 prints of each one going on sale tomorrow. Or for those of you listening to us now, they will have gone on sale on this last Tuesday and have sold out in seconds.
In seconds is the correct word for that.
In seconds. There have been many times where I've wanted a thing at Mondo and I couldn't get it because I couldn't afford it. The times even that I wanted it and could afford it, I've been successful maybe twice in like 50 tries to get a poster. I have a couple really nice Mondo posters, but they are not easy to get. If anyone who follows them and who collects posters knows, they will tell you like basically 24 to 48 hours in advance, hey, here's the new posters that are coming out. Watch Twitter, and then at a random time, that next day on Twitter, they will post they're on sale now, and within 30 seconds to a minute, they will all be gone. So $150 each for 280 prints of either one, the original poster itself, signed by the artist, Richard Castell, or an art print of just the shark and the swimmer. And
they screen share those real quick, buddy. Gorgeous. All right. I just need to see it.
There's a really, for those of you if you're listening to this, it's too late, but there's a really interesting article on Newsweek with how they like worked with Castell to like recreate it. So here's the screen print of just the art that won with the swimmer. It's a little NSFW because it's not in the original poster. They kind of like blurred out that she was naked swimming. And then here's the recreation of the original. And they are both very gorgeous. And so, if you go to their website, you can also see here is the vinyl in its beautiful ocean blue pressing. And then the enamel pins that you can also get. These are not limited, so if you would like these things, you can just go buy those.
And I was just about to say, two key takeaways is their vinyls definitely hang out around much longer. So if you are listening, you could still grab that vinyl for sure. And additionally, Twitter, if you are looking at future sales, follow them on Twitter because their Facebook feed is updated after the Twitter one. So by the time you see it on Facebook, they will be gone.
Yes, you definitely need to follow them on Twitter. A lot of times it's just better to just sit there on that page and refresh it. That sometimes works on Bondo, but it is tough to get there. I mean, like I said, I've been successful once or twice in all the years I've tried to buy Mondo posters. The nice thing is if you are successful to buy one, even if you're not someone who is obsessive like me and going to frame it, spend almost as much money reframing it and hanging it in your living room, especially ones like classic movies like this have a resale value that is insane. One of these days I will own Ollie's three Star Wars prints. That day is not now and probably nowhere in the future, but I need those posters so badly in my life.
All right. So yeah, a lot of money spending. I could see Adam's brain figuring out how he was going to spend all that as well. But in the meantime, we're also going to be spending money on some conventions coming up. Unfortunately this year, none of us will be at San Diego Comic-Con at the end of the month, but as always, you can tune over to projectnerd.com to see the big new trailers, big new release news, all that kind of stuff, as well as full coverage on the Eisner Awards. We already listed the nominees, so if you go to projectnerd.com, you can search for the Eisner Award nominees under the comics category, as well as we'll have the winners come that show. But in the meantime, we will be in Omaha the weekend of Hotel Transylvania 3, which Adam is super excited for. So we will be in Omaha covering that show, as always, helping out there. Panels, helping in the cosplay section, running the cosplay contest, all the fun stuff. So, of course, Project Nerd will be hosting, in typical fashion, our normal panels. We'll be doing a live episode of the Nerdcast. So you can catch Bob, Tyler, and myself recording an episode of the Nerdcast. And then, of course, our Fandom to Business panel, as well as hosting the cosplay Q&A. So Tyler and myself will also be on stage with some of the celebrity guests. You can head over to ocomiccon.com to check out that great guest list. But July 13th through 15th, pretty excited for it. I can't wait. I've got all my stuff getting ready to head out and travel. Miss your guys' faces. Anyways, so that's what's happening at conventions this month. As we get ready here to wrap things up, though, let's cover a little bit real quick, because it is huge, huge thing in this world. World Cup still happening. We are now at the elimination stage. So we are, by time this airs, we will have our 8 quarterfinal teams. And already so far, as point of recording, it has been a crazy, it was a crazy, crazy couple weeks of group play. And now it has been a crazy first few days of elimination, including Messi and Ronaldo going home. First half, I wasn't so sure about where Neymar was going to stand, but Brazil kind of buckled down in that second half and shut Mexico down. But if you're looking to watch a replay of a game, my recommendation, Belgium, Japan. Oh, man. Man, just watch the replay of the goals. That header goal for Belgium, their first goal, was the most insane thing I've ever seen. I shouted out loud in my office at that game. It was crazy. But
that strike from the top of the box, like, just knifed one in there. Like, I mean, it's good. There's some good goals in that game.
The whole World Cup has had great goals. But so, Adam, I think you could talk a little bit more about it too. What I've talked with some people about it is, this is the craziest World Cup I can remember in many years. Like, I feel like the last time I remember this much excitement happening was when France hosted it. Like, gosh, what was that? Like 2000 or 2000, somewhere around there.
France was 98.
98. Okay. So 98 when France made that run to mm-hmm. there. So that was huge. Since then, I mean, like 4 years ago, we had your typical Brazil versus Germany in the final, Spain in the quarterfinal. Yeah. Normal playout and everything like that. Nothing normal is happening this year.
Well, and you knew it was weird right from the jump when teams like the Netherlands and some other perennial powers didn't even qualify. Like, they didn't even make the trip to Russia. You know, United States obviously not making it in. We're a power by any means, but you know, you could set your watch on the US and Mexico making it out of CONCACAF pretty regularly. I mean, my news feed or my Facebook memories has been, you know, 4 years ago, there's every day there's like 4 posts about the World Cup. And then 8 years ago, there's like 4 posts about the World Cup, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's wild. But yeah, no, it's been nuts. And I don't know what is to kind of make of that. So you've got the introduction of the VAR, so the virtual assistant referee, who is supposed to be helping make correct calls, certainly on things like goals and penalties and stuff like that in the box. So big kind of potentially game-changing, World Cup-changing plays. And I've heard a lot of people saying that, you know, it's helping keep those big teams like a Argentina or a Portugal or a Germany from just bullying smaller teams that don't have the star power. I don't know if I necessarily am on board with that, but it's something to think about for sure. And it's been nuts and wild, which is what you want from a tournament. I mean, the closest thing we have here in the States would be, you know, March Madness, and everybody loves when the Cinderellas make a deep run and we don't just end up with Kansas versus Duke in the final every year. So we're getting that this World Cup for sure.
Well, it's crazy. At time of recording, it is realistically possible of your quarterfinal teams right now that we could see a Croatia-Russia final, a Sweden-Croatia final, a Uruguay, one of the smallest countries that's in the tournament, is still possible there. Or we do have a couple favorites still left. We do have Brazil and France still there. But outside of Brazil and France, it's really hard to say a powerhouse is left with that. And Russia upsetting Spain, Japan putting Belgium at to the very, like, literally last second there. It was so good. But some exciting games. I've only missed a couple, and it's definitely been there. And as Adam's always pointed out, Project Nerd's all about nerding out. You can nerd out about whatever you want. So you can always check out some of the old World Cup articles that Adam did. And of course, when we record next week, we'll have further updates for you on the World Cup. So, all right, with that, we are out of time. So let's head around the rooms real quick. Bob, why don't you get us started with final thoughts?
This week, home videos, pretty meh. Only thing that's really coming out is Blockers. Then next week, got A Quiet Place coming out. And then the Criterion copy of Bull Durham comes out next week. There's one to get. But wait until July 17th. I will be poor that day because I think there's like 10 movies coming out, including Isle of Dogs.
So with that, you can head on over to projectnerd.com every Tuesday this month. Check out the key new releases each week as we have an article set up to go every Tuesday. Let us know what you think about that. If it's worth your time, if we see some click-throughs over that, as it does help support the site, we'll continue to do that into August. All right, Adam, what do you got for us?
With all of the new things coming out, obviously, I have found that revisiting old media that the new stuff is based on is super interesting. So, like I said, I reread Jurassic Park and then watching, just this last week before going to see the new Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, rewatched the original Jurassic Park, rewatched Jurassic World, skipped The Lost World and Jurassic 3, sorry. But rewatched, you know, and then watched Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It's really interesting to see all of the little, you know, the little nods to things that you wouldn't get if you hadn't read that book initially. So if you hadn't read Jurassic Park, there are things throughout all three of those movies, and certainly I'm sure there are in The Lost World and Jurassic 3 that are tied in there. So before you go see something, check out what it's based on. If it's based on a book, give it a read. If it's based on a comic, read some issues. Google is your friend. They will tell you issues you should definitely check out before seeing. It's based on an old movie. Go see that as well. With all of the services out there nowadays, it's easy enough to find stuff online. Also, if anybody is looking for some summer reading to do, this is nothing new. Again, I'm going to be advocating old stuff, but my wife and I finally talked her into reading all of the Dresden Files. She is just about finished with the third passage book, and she wanted something to read, and I was like, we should read the Dresden Files. She said yes. We listened to a couple audiobooks while driving places for holidays and stuff like that, so she's into them, but I think we're going to read them together, same time, so we can talk about them as they're happening. Really excited. 15 books. They're not terribly long reads, but there's plenty of them to keep you busy all summer. So go sit in a hammock in the shade somewhere and read some books.
This makes me very excited that I have someone else to talk about Dresden.
Real quick, too, you pointed out reading adapted material. Marvel also does a great job of releasing comics to go with the movies, too. So not even just material that was previously released, but things that will help you tie in and better understand what's happening. Tyler, sir, what do you have?
Two things, both book-ish related. One is I've been on a kind of a dry sell looking for new books, but I do not have to do that in July. July, there is going to be a bunch of new books I've been looking forward to coming out. Specifically, Naomi Novik has a new book coming out. Benedict Jacka's next Alec Barris book is coming out. Becky Chambers' new Wayfarers book is coming out. For those of you who are fans of the old EU, there is a new Thrawn book coming out written by one Timothy Zahn, who wrote some of the best books in the original expanded universe. I'm looking forward to that, but yeah, there's a lot of really good sci-fi and fantasy books coming out this month. Also, what's his name, Michael J. Sullivan's book in his Age of Myth series, or Legends of the First Empire series, also comes out this month. So lots of books to read. Another one I just want to touch on, just I feel like it needs mention, Harlan Ellison died recently, which was not unlike many really acclaimed sci-fi writers. He's someone like I think a lot of people who read his stuff or liked his stuff had a complicated relationship with. He wrote some of the greatest sci-fi stories of all time, as well as numerous television episodes for things like Star Trek, Babylon 5, Outer Limits, story credit on Terminator. Like if you have familiar with some of his stories, things like I Have No Mouth and Must Scream or Repent, Harley Quinn Said the TikTok Man. On the other side, unfortunately, like a lot of, I think, famous sci-fi writers, he was an incorrigible asshole. He was not a nice person. He had a scathing wit and hurt a lot of people. And there are some infamous episodes of, you know, sexual harassment and assault and those things. But at the same time, it's one of those, how do you separate their art from the, I still love, you know, the Ender's Game series, even though, you know, Orson Scott Card, not the greatest dude. Harlow Ellison, not the greatest dude, but he did write some really amazing sci-fi. So while I don't necessarily celebrate him as a person, take some time to go back and read some of his stuff, watch some of his episodes, because there's some really good stuff there.
All right. With that, we're going to close out episode 158 of the Nerdcast. Thank you all for joining us this week. If you have any feedback for us, as always, you can comment on our post over at projectnerd.com, on our share on social medias, as well as our host, podbean.com. And as always, we are also available on iTunes and Stitcher. So check us out. But anyways, 158, that's done. 159. Be a great preview for O Comic Con, as it'll drop that weekend, or as Adam likes to call it, Hotel Transylvania weekend. But until then, same nerd time, same nerd channel.